with me to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew with me. To the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 9. I'd like to start there today, this morning. We may say some things we've said in the past. We may say some things we've said relatively not too long back, but I just felt like I needed to preach this again. I ministered this message at Pastor Keith's one of the nights, and just seemed like there was a special anointing on it. And the Lord said I needed to preach it again back here at home. And so we're talking to you about faith. We're talking to you about faith today. So it wouldn't be strange that God would speak to us through utterance, you know, that faith is important to Him, and faith should be important to us. Now, you'll hear people say things like, well, you know, this is something, they'll say, well, I've heard all that faith stuff. Well, right there, you've dishonored the Word of God, because, you see, faith has caused me to stay married. Faith has caused me to raise my kids in the Word of God. Faith has caused me to have victory, even when it didn't look like I was going to have victory, but have victory as a pastor. Faith has caused me to be steady in some places where I couldn't have been steady without it. Now, I'm not perfected in faith. I'm not preaching that. I don't know everything about faith yet. I know a little bit about it. I know quite a bit about some areas of it, more than others. But I pay attention to my faith every day I live. Every day I live, I think about faith. Every day. Not like someday, well, I just forget it today. No, every day I pay attention to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, and I make myself think about my faith life every day, because I know that the Bible says that faith pleases God. And I want to please God. God's not too impressed with my activity or yours, but faith will please Him. Did you catch that? You could run around and do a lot of things for God. That's acceptable. Our works ought to be worked out of our relationship, which is faith to God. We're not saying don't do the right thing. But here's the point. God's not impressed with our activity for Him as much as He's impressed with our faith in Him. And then when I have faith in Him, my lifestyle can work out of that, because I'm living by it, walking by it, so forth and so on. Hallelujah. So a person who has that kind of slang about faith, all this faith stuff, see, they don't know the Bible says, and we've taught this before, this element here before we read Matthew 9, that faith is holy. Faith is holy. It's a holy thing when we're talking about, we don't mean by holy, you can't use it. It's going to break. By being holy, it's the most powerful thing there is. I mean, God's holy. He's not going to break. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Faith is holy. The Bible says faith is holy, and the Bible says that faith is precious. It talks about us having like precious faith, like the Apostle Peter. I don't have a different kind of faith. Listen to me. You do not have a different kind of faith than Jesus had. You have the same kind of faith He had. You don't have some kind of inferior faith. Now, you may not understand faith yet. You may not understand how it works yet, and how it's developed and how it's released, or how to get it, and all those things, components need to be wrapped into that. But you find that out by coming to a good church and learning those things. But you have that faith already if you're born again. The God kind of faith was put in you when you got saved. I mean, that's just one aspect of your salvation, but that's an important one, that you received the God kind of faith. Are you listening to me? You got a lot of things when you got saved. People say, well, you got the promise of eternal life. No, I have eternal life now. The Bible says these things are written that you might know you have. Not going to have. You have, as a believer, you have eternal life right now. I'm walking in eternal life. That doesn't mean I'm going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. But those of us who know God, we've already entered into eternal life, the quality of life like God has, and we begin to walk in the covenant with Him. And those things are all eternal and powerful, because Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, or the words of the covenant, will never pass away. So the things we're walking in now, whatever level we're walking in, and as we grow in it, it gets stronger and stronger, we're already walking in eternal life. God hasn't changed one bit since I got saved in 1971. I just grew up. I am growing up. Let me say that way. I don't know everything yet. But see, I'm growing up into some things. Let me say something else to you about churches, because this is an important issue. People say, well, why don't you preach about so-and-so? I'm not called to preach everything to you. People in churches who lay that on their pastors, and the pastors that are stupid enough to receive that condemnation and try to teach everything, the whole counsel of God. First of all, none of us know it. None of the preachers know the whole counsel of God. We're not that smart yet. And you get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you never get skilled in anything in a church like that. Boy, I'm preaching good today. And then secondly, preachers have to, like myself, Pastor John, all of us in full, we have to focus up and hunker down and get serious about the things that God told us is the preeminent thing to teach about. Now, I was in seminary in 1976 through 78, and I was praying because I had to take all those classes on all that, all those different things, like eschatology, which is the study of end times. I know those big words. I just don't use them to you. You don't know what they mean anyway. Hermeneutics and homiletics and paralytics, you know that, not probably, but, you know, any different things. You know what, I'm being silly with you a little. But here's the thing. I was praying, I said, God, what do you want me to do in my ministry? Because I was young then, younger, let me say it that way, and learning, and what's my ministry going to entail. And the Lord said, I want you to teach on victory to people. I want you, Michael, to teach people how to have victory in the here and now. And in order to do that, whatever you study and whatever you teach, you make it somehow fit into that scope. Because if it's not practical and it's not for victory now, then don't fool with it. Are you listening to? There's a place for teaching on end times, but you're not going to get a lot of that from me. So, you know, you might as well, you know, go somewhere else if you want it, because I'm not going to teach it. I'm not called to teach on it. I could maybe teach a little here and there about it. And you know, I taught a lesson a while back about heaven and hell. That's about all you need to know right now. I think I taught a message, get right, get saved, or get out. That's about all you need to know. If you can get those three things worked out in your life, that'd be a thrill. But here's the thing. If you don't live by faith, you're not going to get much done for God at all, because I'm going to show you everything that you want to do for God, everything you are doing for God, everything that you dream of doing for God. You've got to do it according to your faith, or you won't do it. It won't be done. Are you listening to me? This is my point. I'm not criticizing anybody else. I'm just telling you, I have an assignment from God. I major up on covenant, faith, the gifts, the anointings, and things like that, and other things that God's told me to teach, you know, that I teach regularly here, and I teach it over and over because I'm growing in it. It's not I couldn't teach something else. And we do teach other things if you've been with me any length of time. But I don't think we have faith down right yet. In some areas, we have to learn to pay attention to it, because it's such a central thing to our lifestyle. And I'm not even using the scripture God gave us in the prophecy today, or the interpretation, whatever, the utterance gifts, but it says we walk by faith. We are to have a lifestyle, one translation says, of faith. The same thing about going to church. The Bible does teach going to church, but here's what I'm saying. We're to live by faith. A lifestyle of faith. I don't come to church and try to live one way and then go home and live some other way. I have to use my faith every day, use it for the things that I do every day, and learn how to develop my faith. Let's look here at Matthew 9, verse 27. That's where I ask you to turn, I believe. And I've got some good things to say today. And so it says in verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, Yes, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. But this is what I want you to see. Evidently they had faith. But it, verse 29, according to your faith, be it unto you. You see, your life right now is, whether you realize it or not, or whether you recognize it or not. And this is not a criticism. This is just the way it really is. It's according to your faith. My life, the things in my life, the way I live, and all that pertains to Michael Jacobs, not just in the pulpit, but just, and not just my money or my clothes or where I live, all that kind of stuff. Those are all perimeter issues in my life anyway now. Normally, you know what I'm saying. I'm centered up on the serving God and working with Him and fulfilling His plan. Those things come to me, of course, because I'm His servant and I'm obedient in my giving. But that's not the main thing of my life. The main thing in my life is learning to walk more proficiently in my faith, because it is according to my faith and no more. It's according to my faith. Whatever I have in God, whatever I receive from God, whatever I can do in God, it's according to my faith. And it's according to your faith. See, now I'm saying that as a giant umbrella over your lifestyle. It's all according to your faith. We're not worshipers of faith, we're worshipers of God. But here's the thing, in order for us to be successful and proficient in our relationship with Him, and really He's in here, you know, God in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us, then I have to learn to live and walk by faith. Are you catching on to this? Now this morning I'm going to talk about this aspect of faith, because there's a lot of components with faith, and we can't cover them all in one session. My goodness. Because there's how you develop your faith and how you receive faith. But I want to talk to you today about how faith is released. How faith is released. And you're already catching on a little. How faith is released. Without the words of your mouth, without you saying it, faith is not released. Now, I know faith is action too. I understand that's a different sort of it's part of acting is saying. But here's the thing I'm majoring up on today. Faith is released through the words of your mouth. What are you saying? What are you saying? I've been meditating on this quite a while, so I've been thinking about it. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 with me, please. We're talking today about how faith is released. How it's released. See, you know, we have to be able to release our faith to cause things to happen. You've heard people say, and I have, of course, they're not thinking intelligently, or really, they're not thinking scripturally. And they say, oh, I got all the faith in the world. And you look at their life and you watch their life and they're a failure. Well, they could have faith. They don't have all the faith in the world, but they could have some faith. But if they're just saying they have faith and they're not using their faith and letting it be released to go out and work on things, then the faith is null and void as far as it being activated. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Here's the thing. A few years ago, I was meditating on, you heard me tell you this. I think you're better givers than receivers as a whole. I'm talking about at this church and my church. I think you're better at giving than you are receiving. I think most of you have a lower throttle hold. You know what I mean by throttle on receiving than you do giving. In other words, I think you're higher on the giving end than you are on the receiving end. I think most of you get choked too quick on the receiving part. You can't take the receiving as well as the giving. Now, that's a good quality, but you need to step up your receiving. But here's something I'm seeing in faith with you. Because I'm your pastor, give me a little credit that I do know you. I know you after the Spirit. I don't just know by what you tell me in the foyer in the cafe or what you told me in my office privately. I know you after the Spirit because I pray for you. I know you after the Spirit because I'm with you in the Spirit regularly, preaching and teaching. And you're at this altar and I'm ministering to you. And I don't say everything that I know. But here's what I think that I'm pretty accurate on here about you. Listen to me carefully. This is not a put down. It's trying to help you today. I think you're better at receiving faith. And I think most of you have more faith than you think you have. But you're low on the releasing of it. You're coming up short on the speaking part. Now, just stay with me. Don't get mad. I mean, just step it up if that's you. And if you think you're saying everything you should be saying, then you're fine. But I just feel like this is something we all got to deal with. We've got to learn to release our faith. Instead of just academically knowing what faith is and that we have it, what about speaking? Are we speaking what we believe? So how is faith released? It's released through the words of your mouth. Let's look at something here in Romans 10, verse 8. Verse 8, Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh or close to you. Even in thy mouth, you ought to underline mouth, and in thy heart, you ought to underline heart. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Notice the way this is structured, and in your heart. And then he goes on to say, that is the word of faith. The word of what?
Faith.
Which we preach. See, Paul said what he preached was the word of faith. The word of faith. He believed in faith. He used his faith. He knew how to use his faith. But here's what I wanted you to see. It's first in your mouth and then in your heart. Now you get faith by sitting up under the word. Romans 10, 17 says faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So when I preach to you, faith comes too. Or somebody up here preaching, if they're preaching the word, it is the word of faith. And if it's rightly divided and they're preaching under that anointing, then faith is coming to you. But here's the thing I wanted you to see. It'll come a lot quicker for you. And in the process of time and the order of things, according to verse 8, the word of faith is in your mouth first and then in your heart. It's in your mouth first and then in your heart. It's in your mouth first and then in your heart. You put the word of God in your mouth and speak it out, it goes back into your ear, not just this physical, but spiritually, and down into your heart. You speak it out, it goes in your heart. Once it gets in your heart and you've meditated on it enough and you keep speaking it enough, watering that seed, putting light on that seed, then that seed begins to grow up and pretty soon you begin to speak. And then when you speak, it has creative power to bring things to pass. But you got to put it in your mouth first. Put it in your mouth and then in your heart, and then it gets back in your mouth, and it gets back in your heart, and it gets back in your mouth, gets back in your heart. In your mouth first and then in your heart. You remember a few weeks ago I passed out to you that sheet. I don't know, it had 60 or 70 or 80 things on it that you are. I have the mind of Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I've been seated with Him in heavenly places. I am blessed. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I didn't give you that to stick it in your Bible as a bookmarker. You got to get those things out and look those scriptures up. Don't just read them off the page. Get your own Bible. Look it up. Look at it with your eyes and read it again and then underline it and highlight it and then say it. I have the mind of Christ. Because if you don't say it, you're going to have your mind and you can't conquer with your mind. Oh, man. Somebody say, I'm going to give them peace of my mind. Yeah. Some people don't have any mind left hardly. Worth hearing. We have the mind of Christ. We need to renew our mind. You don't automatically have the mind of Christ unless you're in the Word. But this is my point. So the Word is in your mouth first and then in your heart. Talking about how faith is released, but we got to get it in us first. It's in our mouth. The Word, called the Word of Faith, the Word of Faith, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. 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 We were talking this morning about having faith to let those teenagers go. We had faith to raise the money. We had 15,000. My daughter spearheaded all that. She was the main person. She had help. But Jessica spearheaded all those things pretty much, and Joe helped some and others helped some, but to raise the money, that took faith, took action. And then the parents, I felt more sorry for some of you parents at the airport than the kids. The kids are all hyped, excited, talking to each other, hey, and the parents look like, oh my goodness, I'm going to send Timmy on the plane. You know, what was that? I said, you need to pray for your parents. Is they're back here with me. And I don't know that they're in faith. I think they'd like to be, but hopefully they'll be. See, that's why we teach you faith. So when it gets to a point that little Timmy can have a life-changing experience doing something for God besides going to a Christian school or some other dingbat thing, that you let them go and you help supply the money and you got faith to let little Timmy go and get marked by God. Hallelujah. You don't want some of your kids to be missionaries, you better go find another church. Not all the kids in this church are going to be missionaries, but I like to find the ones that are anointed to be and then put them with somebody like John and Alba where they grow up in that missionary call and be stable on the field. Pray. And not only that, but send them to them with a little faith in them to begin with from Pastor Jacobs and the Word of God and this house, Church on the Rock. Talking pretty good here. Where's faith? That's in your mouth. It's in your mouth. Well, I just don't think I'd ever have the money to send Timmy. And I wouldn't want to let Timmy go. What's he don't know how to cut his fingernails. Oh. Boy, you're real faith people. What about underwear? Oh, you're faith people, all right. Faith is not something we just talk about because we go to a church like this. It's something we live out. I'm not talking about sending people that don't have the ability to do it. But if they go to church here regularly, they ought to get the faith to do things for God. Whether it's a mission trip or starting a church or just being here the rest of their life serving this pastor and being faithful. But doing it with joy and freedom and excitement and enthusiasm. I mean, the praise and worship team did great today and you did pretty good too. But man, I miss the youth. They got passion. Ed Cole said that's the sin of youth, but it's also the blessing of youth if it's turned the right way. Man, they're hungry. They're excited. Hallelujah. Hello. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. See, faith, Matthew 11, 22, 23. You know the scriptures, but let's look at them again. Cornflakes commercial. Try them again for the first time. You see, faith works the same in every arena. So once we begin to learn this, we can begin to analyze some things in our own life and say, am I speaking what I really want to come to pass in this area? Because faith should be coming out of our mouth and speaking the end result and speaking the things we desire. Not what is, if what is not what we desire. How many caught that? Let's look here real quickly at something. Matthew 11, 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. And we just found out the Bible's called the Word of Faith, so we could really say, have faith in the Word of God. Or the footnote in my Bible, which is really good, it says, and is accurate according to the Greek there, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. That doesn't mean you're God. It just means you're sons and daughters of God. And so because you've been born again now, you're born of His Spirit, you have received His kind of faith. You know, there is no other thing on this planet. I maybe shock you. I'm meditating on this. Fear is faith in what the devil can do. It's no really fear. We use fear because the Bible teaches fear and faith, but really they're the same in essence substance, just turned reversed. Faith says, I believe God says that He would take all sickness away from the midst of me, and that by His stripes I'm healed, and so forth. You know, Old Testament, New Testament, different scriptures, and that He's the God who heals all my diseases. Fear says, oh my goodness, I hope I don't catch something. You know, I felt for this person recently in one of my meetings. I said, if you have some kind of, I don't remember what it was, a torment, I think I said, would you please come forward? I'd like to pray for you. A lady came and she whispered in my ear. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I have an infection in my body and I prayed and asked God to forgive me. I've repented. And said, this infection is viral and it won't go away. And I believed to get delivered. So I cast the devil out of her. The Lord showed me what it was, something female problem, because she disposed herself to something. And she laid there, you know, about 5 minutes and got delivered. I believe she's healed now. But see, faith, it takes faith to do that. Not bragging on me, it takes faith. She had to have faith to respond, and I had to have faith to pray. Because some things, in certain categories, in people's minds, they say, well, this is viral, there's no way to get rid of it. If it's bacterial, we'll take antibiotics. If it's viral, well, you got to deal with it. Either deal with it or die, or deal with it and have faith and get it out. Have the faith of God. We ought to look at things and from God's perspective and realize that he's put in us this God kind of faith. We're not trying to be God. We're trying to walk as sons and daughters of God and get over the notion that somehow he doesn't like that. He desires for all of us to live up to his expectation, which is having a family of sons and daughters that act like him in this planet. In other words, we respond the same way he would respond. People criticize us and say, well, you know, Pastor John, I don't know, in South America you may have gotten some of this too, but I've gotten plenty here in North America. Well, you're some of that blab it and grab it group. Blab it and grab it and name it and claim it. Yeah, that's right, because I'm following in the footsteps of my father, who the Bible says, you don't need to turn there, just write this down, but I'm talking to you a minute. Ephesians 5:1 says we're to imitate our Father. You can look it up yourself if you want to take the time, be studious for a minute. Not right now. But it says imitate, and the word in the Greek is the word we get mimic. We ought to mimic our Father. In other words, I ought to act like God would act in that situation. Well, I went back to the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Verse 2 of Genesis 1:2, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and Isaiah 45:18 says he didn't create it that way. So something had happened between Genesis 1:1, 1:2, and he created, he's light. How could he create that? It was a mess. He's a God of order. You ever read 1 Corinthians 14? He's a God of order. And so what did God do when it's dark? Excuse the expression here, and God's not going to be mad. I'm using an illustration. He blabbed it. He said, light be! Light became. And it changed what was to what he wanted. And you want to be careful how you criticize those of us, because you're criticizing God the Father. I don't like that term. I'm just telling you, a lot of people, critics say, well, you're the blab it and grab it bunch. You're the name it and claim it. Well, I'm following my Father, who called what he wanted, not what is. And if he could do that, I can go to his Bible and find out what he says about something. And if it's not in line with this, then I can call it the way I want it based on what he said I could have, and it will change. Praise God. That's having the God kind of faith. No, life is not perfect. People are not perfect. We're not saying that. But we're moving in our covenant more and more all the time and believing what God says over what is and changing what is to what we want it to be based on our covenant. You're sitting in my dream, part of it. Not because I'm something. God called me and said, I want you to start a church in this city. The church isn't concrete and steel, but he called me along the way to build a building so I didn't have to give my money to a leaser all my life and just have nothing to show for it and build a decent building for people to come to and spend over $1 million in these two buildings and almost $2 million now it's appraised for with the land and the buildings and equipment. Because somebody had faith. Some of you had faith too, but you probably wouldn't have spearheaded it because you're not me. God spoke to me, and so I had faith to do something about it. Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on my God. He gives us projects and visions to do things so that we can do it, but it's going to take faith to do it. There was nothing here. We were talking about how faith is released. By word, God said to me, at the time we built this building, we didn't have the money, you know, as a church to do a whole lot as such right then, cash. But God said, well, you need to go to the bank. And he told me what bank to go to at that time. I didn't know these people. I didn't even bank with them. Our church stuff was with another bank. But God said, go to this bank. I went to that bank, called, got an appointment with a commercial loan officer, who's now the president of that bank, by the way. You fool with covenant people and you bless them, you get blessed. And so I went in and sat down with this man, and he said, what do you have for collateral? Before I could think of what to say, I just said, well, how about $100,000? He said, how soon could you have it? I said, probably 60 days, 90 days. I forget what I told him now. I didn't have $1,000. But I was speaking my faith. Then I came back to you, and you'll remember this, and those who were with me then, that's been 10, 12 years ago. I said, we're not putting pressure on anybody, but I want you to do your part, go home, pray about it, and we're going to believe God together for $100,000, and $100,000 came in. You had faith, I had faith, we didn't have it, we didn't have the substance of that, and I spoke it by inspiration on the inside. Now, you can't just run off and say anything, you got to know God a little bit before you start talking. And there's nowhere in the Bible say you have $100,000, but by the Holy Ghost, God just gave me that as the leader, because that's what I needed to say to him, and you know, evidently got the job done, here we are. And then we paid this building off, $425,000 we borrowed in 5 years, and now we're on this other building, and we're calling it paid. No pressure on you. We're just talking about using our faith. We're speaking to that building. Building, be paid. Somebody don't even like me could come and give me the money. A lot of people qualify for that out there, I'm sure. Angels get them. It's all right with me. You don't have to like me to pay my building off. I could care less. I mean, I'd like them to like me, but I'm not going to beg them to. I'm just doing my part. Let's look at verse 23. You're going to have to say amen a little faster. See, you have, say this, I have the God kind of faith. And my faith is released through the words of my mouth. Therefore, I will declare the words of the covenant. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I have revelation knowledge according to Ephesians 1. And He's showing me what is the hope of my calling. Hallelujah. See, He's doing that. Do you know, even in the Old Testament, the book of Joel said, let the weak say, I am strong. Don't say you're weak. If you feel weak, you just get weaker. This is not Christian science. This is Christian sense. This is Christian covenant sense. See, don't think that if you're going to go to a word church, it's never going to fit in with the philosophies of the world, because they're in the world. And their mentality and their way of thinking is on that basis. But we are covenant people. Jesus said they are not of the world, speaking of His disciples, and for those of us who would be in John 17. I'm over here in Mark 11 still. Stay with me. But He said, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You know, Jesus didn't think like the world either. I mean, He was making His confessions based on who He was. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 23, Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, anybody could talk, this would qualify you. Whoever will say, not just think, not just meditate, that has its place, but this says, verily I say unto you, Jesus speaking, in reference to having the God kind of faith, in reference to teaching His staff how He used His faith in cursing the tree. You remember the story here. We don't have time to back it up. But He's in verse 23 here, and He says, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice carefully here, only believing is mentioned once, but saying, or say, or a form of say, is mentioned three times. So we've got to beef up, as it were, our saying, pick it up a little stronger and say it more. Say it more. Start saying what you see. Every day I get up, I say, of course, I know what redemption is. It would help to know, but I'm telling you what I say, I'm redeemed. And man, when I say that, I'm thinking of all that redemption, I mean, you know, what I know of redemption provides me. A sound mind, my kids protected, my marriage blessed, the church blessed as a pastor, because I have a covenant with God that gives me certain things I can say over you. Hallelujah. My city, I call my city blessed based on the covenant. Whether they act blessed or not, I'm calling them blessed. And some people will fall on. I'm calling for people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to come that have a heart for God and have a heart for truth. And you know they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. There sits a guy right here, Seth, from Texas. I don't know where he's from originally. And here's another guy, John, came from Texas. And there's the Farrells back there. They came from up in Indiana. Right? See what I'm saying? And gentlemen back here from Jeffersonville. And you know, and God is bringing other people into this house. Because I'm saying and I'm calling for them based on the words of the covenant. Are you listening to me? See, saying is involved more than believing. You need to believe God. That's in the heart. You believe with the heart, but you say with the mouth. And so I'm saying to you today, we got to pick that up. The Bible says that the psalmist said, you have to speak what you want, not what is. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, and you don't need to turn here, we're going to move on to some other comments here, but it says, Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now see, I believe that. I believe that for me, I believe that for my kids, I believe that for your kids. I mean, you know, really, just in the natural, anybody want to get on a tin can that goes 600 miles an hour without faith ain't right. I'm talking about an airplane. But because I have faith in my God and I have faith in what He has said, He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the word shall be in your mouth and in your seed's mouth and in your seed's seed's mouth. And I've taught my children to believe God. Well, I could stand there with a group of, you know, however many there was today, 26 people, and say, in Jesus' name, I call you blessed. I call you safe. I declare the angels of God go with you. I'm not saying that just because I'm the pastor and it's expected. That'd be the dumbest thing you ever tried to pull off. But I'm saying it because I believe it. And I have a covenant with God, and that includes all the children spiritually in this house. There's safety in the church. Now, people don't submit and they don't come under this covering, they don't come up under in this house I'm talking about and don't learn to properly relate, even though I'm saying those things that may not work for them properly because they've violated other things in covenant maybe, like going home and talking about me and stuff like that. My words can't overcome your doubt, fear, and unbelief, but my words will help you step into faith if you'll stay with me long enough and rise up with me in this and agree with me. And sometimes it's just smart to let the person who has faith do the praying and believe with them. My wife's sitting right here with my sons and daughter are gone to Honduras today. And my son is 15, just turned 15. When my wife was pregnant with him, we went to the, you know, guy, the gynecologist guy and all that. And he checked and everything. And he said, well, you're pregnant, sure enough, but the placenta has attached itself to the cervix. And that means that the baby can't get out that way. So we're going to think about cesarean, sure enough. So, you know, my wife and I sit down holding hands in the doctor's office, in his office after he examined her and all that. And he said, well, you just got to prepare for cesarean because when the placenta attaches itself to the wall medically, it would never normally come away from that unless you have a miscarriage. So we're not believing for that. But then she's got to deal with all those words, and I'm just sitting there. I'm paying the guy for his information and expertise, so I'm not going to get in an argument with the doctor. Have some sense about you. It says you're faith people, not goofy people. It's supernatural, not spooky natural, okay? And you have to be in faith to do it. So we're sitting there and we step out and say, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. And we pay the bill. And, of course, we were thanking him with that too. And we walk out in the hall and I take her hand and I said, it'll be as I say. Now I said to her, now listen, honey, you don't talk. Just let me do the talking. Because I could tell from the words that came out of his mouth, I knew by the Spirit, fear tried to get on her immediately. I said, just listen, you are my wife, this is my flesh, and that's my seed in there, and I'm commanding the placenta to move in Jesus' name. And she listened. She's smart enough not to say anything. She just said, I agree with you. And I told her, I said, if you can't agree with me, don't even say that. Just let me do the believing right now. And I took her hand, we walked down out to the car, and we came back month after month, and every time they did the ultrasound, they said, well, it's still attached, and it's growing, and you know, and the baby's okay, but you're going to have to think about cesarean. And we're not putting down anybody that's had cesarean. This is not what this is about. It's about using faith, if you have it, to speak. And God made a woman to have children normally, and sometimes people get in trouble. Don't get under condemnation, lady. If you got in trouble and you need to save your baby, save your baby. Oh, and it was dangerous to stay there like that. And so month after month we went. And month after month they said, and of course it got up sixth, seventh month. And they're saying, it's definitely going to be this way. Just pick the date. And every time we'd come out of the doctor's office, I'd say, it'll be as I say. I command you, placenta, to move. You mean placentas listen to you? Sure. You didn't know that, did you? Probably never heard a message on placentas will move if you talk. And not only did I say it after we left the doctor's office to negate that, I said it at home to her regularly. Sometimes while she was sitting there, or sometimes while we're laying in bed, just lay my hand on her belly and say, I command that placenta to move, and this woman will have this baby according to the way you created her to, Father. In Jesus' name. And every time we go back to the doctor, we got the same report. It isn't moving. I'd just smile and go out in the hall and say, my faith is working. That placenta is moving in the name of Jesus. And then my wife started having other problems, bleeding problems and different things like that on seventh month, I don't remember what, and she'd have to lay down and she'd lay on the couch and I'd say, I command that bleeding to stop. In the name of Jesus, this child will be healthy, my wife will be healthy, and she'll have the child the way you created a woman to have a child, Father. I command that placenta to move. I worked on it, man. That placenta was going. It was moving. Did you get it? Pastor Jacobs is working on me. I got to move. And so she went into labor and they took her in. The doctor checked her and he said, you know, that placenta's moved. I think she might be able to have this baby regularly. I thought, all he did show up for the last 10 minutes. I've been working 9 months saying, okay, sure, doc. And I'm paying him big money to do it. And sure enough, the baby came correctly the way that God created a woman to have them. And everything was fine with him. Everything was fine with her. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Jesus who gave me the God kind of faith. But sometimes you got to hold fast to your confession of faith because he's faithful that promised and not turn loose of it because you get pressure. We had all the pressure of the evil report in the city of what I'm saying. You know, the doctor's not evil. Don't misunderstand. But the report was, well, it's not moving. And every time they said that, fear tried to get back on her, naturally as the one having to go through that and not wanting to be cut open. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. We're to hold fast to our confession of faith all the time. All the time. Say all the time. Now let's go over here quickly. I think I've got a few more minutes, just a moment or two. I won't get this, but just introduce this part. We'll come back and talk about it again because it is so vital. Galatians 6. Let God's words create in you the right image. You need the right image on the inside of you. God's words will create in you the right image if you'll let those words get in you. You know, a lot of people grow up feeling like they're stupid or they're inadequate or this, you know, negative thing. But the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says that you've been born again and you've been made in the image of God. Well, you couldn't be that. Hallelujah. You have to let that change you, though. The Bible says, I'm in Galatians 6, but hang on. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, the word is forever settled in heaven. And then Jesus came along in Matthew 6 and said, thy will be done on earth, Matthew 6 and 10, thy will be done on earth, or the word be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants us to be established and forever settled in the word too. Takes time to do that, but we can do it. Here's something that we saw a while back, and I want to talk about it real quickly here. I got about 5 minutes. Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, we talked about this once before, but I want to talk about it again. Because I was watching CNN, I don't know, maybe a month or so back. Could have been 2 months. And they had the Queen of England on there who was celebrating, I don't remember now, 50 years of, I was going to say ministry, 50 years of of being a queen. And she was, you know how she is. And then they showed her riding down in this Rolls Royce and then it had excerpts about the crown jewels in England. We're talking some major jewelry. and they were talking about different things. And then the Lord said to me, said, you know, and of course in Europe, and still to this day somewhat, in some of the countries like England, France, and other places like that, and Belgium, where they had households who ruled. It was called the House of So-and-so. You remember that? Did you learn that in school? The House of Windsor and the House of So-and-so. And when you were born into that house, if you had nobility in your parents and grandparents and so forth, you were born into that. You were of the House of So-and-so. And that meant that you received all the prestige and all the power and all the influence and all the money and all the making of what it meant that went into that name. But now I was watching this on TV with the Queen, and I was thinking about her son and her two grandsons, and I thought, you know, they never thought common, I bet, when they were growing up. I know they're still pretty young, the two boys, but I thought they never thought like a commoner. Because why? They were born into a house of nobility with influence and authority and tennis courts and swimming pools and Rolls Royces and polo ponies and all the stuff that they have in the natural. But then the Lord said, you are of the house of faith. And he said, all things are possible to you because you are of the house of faith. Not that, praise God. And I began to think, all the influence and all the power and all the authority and all the financial backing of heaven is behind you and I, because we're of the house of faith. My goodness. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. The Bible says we are a people who are kings and priests in Revelation 1. And I got one final scripture. Ecclesiastes 8, come on with it, Pastor. All right, here it goes. Ecclesiastes 8, look at this. Oh, somebody's going to get excited here in a minute. Talking about being of the house of faith. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4. Remember, you're a king and a priest, right? A couple of places in the New Testament tells us we are a king and a priest. Kings, basically, I'd like to say this about kings. Kings rule. That's what kings do. They have dominion. Priests serve, but kings rule. So we're servants, but we're also kings. And look at verse 4, Ecclesiastes 8. I want you to find it. Everybody there with me that wants to be? Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. See, where the word of a king is, there is power. See, if you'll use your words as the right way, because now you're of the house of faith, and how is faith released? By words. And you'll begin to declare thou and say what God says about you and where it is, present tense, not where it was, what you're saying now. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told that woman, I said, if I pray for you, if there's an evil spirit, it'll come out. And I commanded that thing. I said, come out of her. And she began to, you know, choking. We've seen it 100 times, choking, you know, strangle-like thing, and fell on the floor. And I said, you'll be all right in a minute. And I just stood over her. Every bit of it come out. And pretty soon she was normal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Where the word of a king is, you are kings and priests. This is what I want you to leave today. You're of the house of faith. You're a royal priesthood. Hey, practice that a little bit. And when you get home, look in the mirror and say, I am of royalty. Jesus of Nazareth is my elder brother, and God the Father is Almighty God, and He's my Father, and I've been born of Him. Hallelujah. And all of heaven backs me up. Whoo! My goodness. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You release those words out of your mouth based on the words of the covenant. See, you can say now, I am a king. In Christ Jesus, I am a king. And I have a king. I'm part of His kingdom, and He's made me a joint heir with Him. Do you think, and you think in your mind, I think in my mind, I read the four gospels, if He said something, it surely came to pass. Well, I'm a joint heir with Him. We're joint heirs with Him. We have His name, His blood, His spirit, the same faith He had. We're kings. And we can begin to release our faith with the words of our mouth. My goodness. You get anything out of it? Hallelujah. You know, the most important confession that we'll ever make to come into this house of faith is to be born again. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want to be born again. I want to come into this, as you've taught today, the house of faith and be a part of Jesus and His family. It's available to you. Let me look around just for a moment. Anybody lift your hand if you need that today, because this is so vital. This is the first thing you have to confess Him. Confess Him and believe in your heart. Hallelujah. You stand up with me, please. You've been so gracious to me. Thank you today for listening.